Coming up on Golf Today, Captain Stacey Lewis completes her Solheim Cup team one day after her European counterpart. Who has the edge at RTJ? Stacey joins us in moments. How about the world number one meeting the press in Atlanta after a tough week in Denver? What is the game plan to win the FedEx Cup for the very first time? And what to say of his closest pursuer, Xander Schauffele? Can he catch and pass Scotty on a course he loves and challenge him for Player of the Year? Find out next on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Golf Today on a Tuesday. Damon Hack alongside Ryan Lavner. The golf season rolls on and on and on. You got Boston, you got Atlanta. An intriguing time of the year. What's top of mind for you?
D-Hack, I actually love this time of year because I feel like you can have genuine sports debate without having it feel like it's manufactured like it might be in the spring or even in early summer. Like, and I think in hindsight, Suzanne Pedersen and the European Solheim Cup team may have made a couple of controversial picks with her wild card selections. Keegan Bradley, maybe a possible playing captain. We've talked about that for the President's Cup. The FedEx Cup format is always sort of under scrutiny. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, PGA Tour Player of the Year. Like, you can actually have these debates in middle of August when you probably can't have them earlier. So I think it's at least fun to talk about golf.
It's water cooler talk. You got
finally
team Scotty, you got team Xander, you got Angel Yin should have been on this team. I mean, Jennifer Kupcho, the right choice. I mean, these are the talk, that's what people are talking about who love this game.
We're all sports fanatics. Like, you and I live and breathe it, every single sport. It's actually come to golf now.
Yeah.
At least in this time of month where you do have some genuine debate, you do have some controversy, you do have some picks that you can potentially quibble with. It's a lot of fun. That's why we have a two-hour show.
Let's get to know Stacey Lewis's captain's picks a little bit better. Major winner Lexi Thompson. You know the name, so represent the U.S. for the seventh straight time. She moves into a tie for third all-time in appearances for the U.S. side in what she says is her final season on the LPGA Tour. Got the 2022 Chevron Championship winner. How about Jennifer Kupcho? Was also chosen as a captain's pick today. This will mark Jennifer's third time playing for the U.S. Solheim Cup team. She has four top tens on the season. Maybe a lesser-known name, Sarah Schmelzel, was the third captain's pick for Stacey and will be making her Solheim Cup debut. She joined the LPGA in 2019 and has earned 14 career top 10s so far. So the three captain's picks made the team whole. The final 12 for the U.S. Solheim Cup team, Nelly Korda, Lilia Vu, Lauren Coughlin, Allie Ewing, Allison Corpuz, Megan Kang, and Andrea Lee qualified through the U.S. point standings, while Rose Zhang and Allison Lee qualified through the Rolex Women's World Golf Rankings. We are pleased now to join the former world number one and the captain of the United States Solheim Cup team. She is Stacey Lewis, and what a career she's had. NCAA champ, 13-time winner on the LPGA Tour, and great to have her with us on this Tuesday. This is your second time doing this, Stacey. I'm curious, how difficult was the process, the hellos and welcome to the teams and those phone calls saying, you know, please support us from afar?
You know, honestly, the day that I get to announce my team and the day that I get to do the picks has been two of my favorite days in this whole process. To get to tell those that they've made the team, it's amazing. I mean, that's what you look forward to in this job. You get to kind of make their year, make their careers, help them check goals off their list. But then there's the other side, too, that's tough. So we're excited to have our 12, and we're ready to go for RTJ.
Stacey, you had five rookies on the U.S. team last year. How is your approach different this time around with just two newcomers?
You know, it's going to be similar because those five rookies still have not played a Solheim Cup in the U.S. And a Solheim Cup in the U.S. is a very different animal. And so I still feel like we still have a young team. They are much more experienced. I got the group together Sunday night in St. Andrews, and just to see the way they interacted and the way they were around each other. You know, we're in a much better position at this point this year than we were last year.
You know, Stacey, ties are rare in sports. We clamor for resolution. A year later, Did last year feel like a tie? Did it feel like a loss? How did you process what happened in Spain?
You know, for me, I knew we had to get to 14 and a half. And so to me, it feels like a loss. To people, the fans that are watching, it looks like a tie and they all hate it. So, you know, I feel like these have been so close together. It's kind of been a continuation. And we get to, it's a cool opportunity for Suzanne and I to both be back. And I feel like we get to kind of settle the score. And now Suzanne may not feel that way, but I feel like, at least for me, it's a continuation and let's go settle this thing.
Stacey, you had that powerful moment with your team on the 17th green where you huddled them all around and everyone seemed to be crying. How much of that scene has been a motivation for you and the rest of these American girls as you guys now look to kick the Solheim Cup off next month?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so fresh in their minds still. It's still fresh in my mind of that scene and watching them celebrate. And I was the one that actually made them cry. I know they were disappointed, but I was the one that actually made them cry. And it was tough. You know, they had put in so much work and I had put in so much work. But I'm just excited for them. They get another opportunity that's so close. And, you know, I congratulated Europe after it was all over. I went in their team room and I told them, you guys only get the cup for a year. So it was on after that.
How'd you make them cry, Stacey? What do you mean?
I just told them how proud I was of them and just proud of them for the people that they were and the way they represented their country. And I lost them. But that's okay. That means it means something and it's important to them.
Well, so much of sports is about motivation, inspiration. You know that. You don't need any advice from me. But how much will you play on the Lexi Thompson final season home game emotion? She's so popular. Mm-hmm. How much will you want to make 2 weeks from now a Lexi-thon, as it were?
Well, Lexi's going to be a huge part of this, whether this was her last one or whether she was playing more. So, you know, I want it to be big for Lexi. I want her to have a great week. I don't want to dwell on it too much, though, because I want her to be able to go play some golf and have a great time with her teammates. But she's a massive part of what we're doing. She's just such a great person to have behind the scenes because all the girls are watching. They're watching what she's doing. They're watching how she's preparing. They're going to ask, you know, how many holes are you playing each day? How are you going to practice? And that's what she provides more than anything.
Stacey, you've come into these matches as the top player on the U.S. side. How do you describe what that pressure is like, being the most targeted player by the European Solheim Cup team, which is undoubtedly the position that world number one Nelly Kort is going to find herself in next month?
Yeah, it's very hard. It's, you know, you go into it as a player thinking that, you know, I need to win every match and I have to be perfect. And truthfully, what wins these things is usually kind of your seven or eight players. It's not the top players. You don't win and lose this whether your top players play good or not. And, you know, I look to Glen Eagles where, you know, Nelly played unbelievable and we got beat. So, you know, it takes more than one person, but it definitely doesn't hurt having one and two in the world. I will tell you that.
Well, Stacey, my first experience watching a Solheim Cup or a President's Cup or a Ryder Cup was 1997. Valderrama, European captain Seve Ballesteros, bent that golf course to his will, took the driver out of the hands of some of the biggest hitters in the game on the American side. How much can you bend RTJ to fit the strengths of your team?
We're trending in the right direction of actually being able to have some influence and being able to set things up for our team. And that was, you know, the reason for the picks and the reason the players that I chose were for that reason. So we're going to continue to work on that. But as it's set up right now, we're in a good place for it being set up for our team.
Stacey, in your press conference last year after the tie, you said that you were going to come up with some new ideas to make things different behind the scenes. Can you give us a sense of what that is and what that's going to look like for the American team?
Yeah, so I guess just a little sneak preview of it is, you know, we're right outside of Washington, D.C., and you really can't get more patriotic than that. And part, I part of, I want these players to understand too, not only are you representing Solheim Cup and yourself, but you're representing your country and to really understand what that means. And so I did a little, had added some military flair to some things that we're doing with the team and also some things that are going on at the event itself. So just to get a really a sense of appreciation for what we get to do and this great country that we live in.
Stacey, how much do you consider yourself kind of a bridge to the old school, to the Christy Kerr, the Julie Inkster? Because, you know, we don't see Michelle Wee and Christina Kim, Natalie Gulbis, Morgan Pressel. We've lost some of those players from the United States, but you kind of are the tie that binds in some certain senses. Do you feel that way as well?
I do. I mean, while I have all those people you just named, I have great relationships with all of them. But I feel like I also have really good relationships with a lot of these younger players. And it's, you know, I felt like as part of my job as captain is to be the bridge and to get them, these new players, to understand, you know, where we've come from and, you know, why we're in the position that we're in as a tour and as women's golf and for the Solheim Cup. So, I do feel that way. And I've leaned on those people a lot because, you know, they have a lot of insight as to what has made us successful in the past as well.
Stacey, as a former winner at the Old Course, we'd be remiss if we did not ask you your thoughts on Lydia Ko's victory on Sunday at the AIG Women's Open, knocking off the third leg of the career Grand Slam. Seeing that unfold on Sunday at St. Andrews, what were your biggest takeaways?
Well, I have to say, I did a podcast a couple weeks before, and I called it. I actually picked Lydia to win there. But just, you know, her ability, her short game, and how smart she is on the golf course. I had a feeling she was going to play well there, but man, what a cool scene. Obviously I've been that player in that moment and had that experience myself, but to watch it on TV, to go out there and see the finish. I mean, I couldn't be happier for Lydia. I'm so happy she's going to be in the LPGA Hall of Fame and we get to celebrate her forever.
Yeah, for those who don't remember, Stacey Lewis, birdie finish, one of the greatest shots ever hit into 17 at the Old Course, as far as I'm concerned. I want to ask you this. You always look at the game big picture. Nelly dominant to start the year. The summer of Lydia. Your thoughts on where the LPGA sits writ large as a tour in 2024?
It started as this was the Nelly show, and there wasn't really any other storylines. But, man, how far we've come, and there's so many different storylines. I think while Nelly's run was cool, I think this run that Lydia, this Olympics and Old Course run, I mean, I don't know how you top that story for the LPGA this year. And we're in a tremendous place. I mean, we've got some of the best talent I've seen in a very long time. And the girls are so good starting out so young. And, we're in a great spot with our majors and our sponsors. And, you know, we just got to keep pushing forward and create more exposure for the players.
Well, Stacey, I know you hope to make more history in a couple weeks along the shores of Lake Manassas. Thanks so much for the time and best of luck at RTJ.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, let's take a look one more time at the team that Stacey Lewis will be captaining for the second straight year. 43 LPGA wins combined, 7 majors, 9 returners from 2023 and 22 previous appearances among the 12 players. Your thoughts on the moves she made as she tries to bring the cup home?
We talked a lot on Monday on the show, Damon, about how Suzanne Pettersen is sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum of where Stacey Lewis is, where she's basically guided by guts and instinct and things, intangible things like heart and poise. While Stacey Lewis, she did not mention there, but Justin Ray, our buddy, our former colleague here at Golf Channel and the 21st group, they're relying heavily on stats and analytics and data to make all of these decisions. So these captain's picks were certainly informed by that. The pairings they're going to have are certainly going to be informed by that. It's such a tactical approach, and it really sort of boils down to what Stacey Lewis has done the majority of her career. It's very disciplined. It's very principled. There's always sort of a rationale to what she's trying to do. And I think you see that in the three captains picks here. Lexi Thompson was an absolute no-brainer four career appearances 100%. Now in this event. That the next closest was four career appearances. So she's basically sort of a big sister role on this team. Jennifer Kupcho, a ball-striking savant at a place like RTJ, which is certainly going to be paying off. And then Sarah Schmetzel, potentially the controversial pick here because she is going to be a 29-year-old rookie. She just has played better this year than an Angel Yin, who, yes, is a longer hitter that could be suited to that golf course. Six top tens, has played well on a variety of different golf courses, can be paired with a number of different players. It's hard to quibble with any of these picks.
It really is. And this is someone who I think the teams kind of take on the personality of their captain. And Stacey Lewis, I love how she said this is part two of this match, the continuation, maybe the unfinished business from Spain. But this person, this player, is someone who overcame scoliosis as a young person, who spent the majority of her day in a back brace just to be able to have a fine quality of life, let alone play golf and ultimately win a couple of major championships and be a world number one and win 13 times in her LPGA career. And I think that her team will take on her personality. And you saw it there, not a lot of rah-rah, not a lot of fluff, all about business, going to Virginia and handling the task at hand. But I think she will captain as she played, which is with toughness, which is with determination, and with grit.
I always go back to that scene on 17. That was the first Solheim Cup that I covered. I was taken aback by how dramatic that was on the final day, having never covered it before. They jumped out to that 4-0 lead early, the first sweep that they've ever had in the foursomes play, and then Europe just sort of clawed its way back over those remaining 3 days. The sting that American team felt on that 17th green is a powerful motivator. I mean, you have 9 returners on this team. You have 10 on the European side. This is essentially going to be a rematch, a grudge match, however you want to phrase it, which I think is going to be very fun to watch out for.
2 losses and a tie, also a powerful motivator for Team USA as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Damon. Well, coming up next on Golf Today, we're going to hear from one of the most experienced players in Solheim Cup history, with Lexi Thompson selected as a captain's pick today, and she caught up with our Amy Rogers. Stay tuned for more. We say hello to our friend Amy Rogers, who is in Boston. Amy, what's been your biggest takeaway from today?
Hey, Lab. Well, it's been a cool atmosphere here today. We're here in Boston. Most of the team on the U.S. side is kind of cycling through. They're taking headshots, doing different shoots, content creation shoots for the U.S. side. And, of course, you saw Stacey Lewis just a moment ago here, you know, fielding questions from the media as well. Just kind of a little glimpse into how things are coming together for the U.S. side. But one of the things that really struck me today was hearing from Stacey Lewis that she really didn't finalize her team until Sunday, following completion of the AIG Women's Open. Now, Stacey Lewis, very organized person. She's relied heavily on the stats from KPMG, her friends there, in both of these Solheim Cups that she has led. And she has relied on those numbers also in making her captain's picks to determine which players, based on, you know, the numbers of their game, are the best fit. And she said that when she made the pick last year, when she announced those 3 captain's picks, it was a relatively easy decision. She said she'd really decided weeks in advance who she was going to select. Now, this time around, when I spoke to her earlier today, I asked her how that decision went. She said it was much more difficult, that there were a lot more players in the mix over this closing stretch of qualifying, and there were so many more scenarios that she was considering over that final day at St. Andrews before she could make a selection. So that was something that really struck me about Stacey Lewis. That's different for her this time around in the Solheim Cup. And what also stood out to me was just my discussion with Jennifer Kupcho, who did receive that captain's pick. She's going to be competing in her 3rd Solheim Cup. And when I asked her how much making that team had been a motivator for her this year, she got quite emotional, nearly in tears, telling me that she's dealt with a lot of hardships this season. She didn't want to reveal all the details of what those challenges have been for her this season, but she did tell me that split with her caddy at the beginning of the year was one of those challenges for her, and that she said this year has really been a struggle for her game. She's had 4 top tens this season, just 2 of those coming in these last few weeks of qualifying, and those went a long way in Kupcho earning that pick and getting onto this team. But really struck me today just how emotional Jennifer Kupcho was, something we don't see from her very often.
Yeah, we often don't know what's going on behind the scenes for the best players in the world. Amy, you were able to catch up with Lexi Thompson after the picks were made. She's had an emotional year as well. She said this will be her last. What did you learn?
Well, Stacey Lewis said it was probably no surprise that she had selected Lexi Thompson for this team, and it really wasn't. Thompson will be competing in her seventh Solheim Cup, but this is the first time that she's had to rely on a captain's pick. She has made a limited number of starts on the LPGA Tour over the last few seasons and really just hasn't had the same sort of form with her game that lifted her to those automatic qualifying spots as it has in years past. And I had a chance to speak with Thompson this morning about what it is she can bring to this team, given her years of experience competing in the pressure cooker that is the Solheim Cup, and to get her reaction to what it was like to find out that Stacey Lewis had given her one of her captain's picks.
Just a dream come true when she came up to me Sunday. It was an amazing feeling. There's nothing like being able to represent your country, but you know, I didn't play my best golf kind of in the beginning of the year, but had a good stretch recently. So happy with that, but just a huge honor to be able to play under Stacey again and alongside my teammates. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
And Stacey Lewis was very complimentary in announcing you as part of this team, saying that experience was a big part of it, but you can bring so much to this team both on and off the course. How do you feel like you'll be able to assist the U.S. team this year?
Yeah, thank you. I think just being there for one another. I think that's the big thing in team golf. You know, golf is such an individual sport. It's always on you week in, week out. So to be able to have this week, to come together, you know, and not let anybody get down. There's going to be bad holes where you lose, and you just have to be there for one another and really have that fire and that energy, because I think Solheim Cups bring out an energy and talent within all of us that fans don't get to see week in, week out. So it's great to be part of this team, and I'm just looking forward to being there for each and all my partners.
You announced earlier this season that this will likely be your last full season competing, which means this is likely also your last Solheim Cup. Knowing that and what this event has meant to you throughout your career, how will you approach what was likely your last Solheim Cup?
I think the same mindset. You know, it could be easily my last Solheim Cup, but the Solheim has been my favorite event throughout my whole career. Some of my best memories are from this event, not only the golf, but the team room stuff and how we all come together as one. There's absolutely nothing like it. To be able to wake up and put your country's colors on, it's so inspirational what we're all doing. So I'm happy to be a part of it. Yeah, it could be my last one. So it might be a little bit emotional, but to be on U.S. soil and have those U.S. fans out there cheering us on, hopefully very loudly, it will be a great week.
We were just talking a minute ago about your first Solheim Cup, still remembering that. And you did play with Stacey Lewis, mm-hmm. who is now your captain. What do you remember about that first experience?
That first experience, I just remember the first tee shot. The fans were like on us in the stands, so I believe that the ground was shaking, probably was. And I was so nervous, and I was like, all right, I just need the fans to keep on yelling as soon as they say my name. I don't want them to get quiet because then I'll be freaking out. So I just wanted to be amped up as much as possible because, you know, that's what we play for. We play for those moments, that adrenaline rush, and to be under that kind of pressure. That's what all the hard work goes into. So to be there at Colorado Golf Club, I think that drive went like so far. But it was a great experience, and to play alongside Stacey there, sure we won our match, but yeah, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, what a cool full circle moment to now have her as your captain. Well, congratulations on making another Solheim Cup, and best of luck in a couple weeks.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Well, Thompson by far has the most experience on the U.S. side. There are two rookies on the team this year, with Lauren Coughlin and Sarah Schmelzel joining the team. Now, those five players you heard Stacey Lewis talk about a moment ago that were rookies last year competing in Europe, like she said, this is a whole different situation with them now competing in Virginia on U.S. soil in front of these U.S. fans. And Thompson said today that that tee shot on that first tee at the Solheim Cup is likely the most nervous that these players will ever feel on a golf course. So having someone like Thompson that's been in that position, that can lead by example, can go a long way in helping this young U.S. team.
Wow, this is Lexi Thompson's last Solheim Cup as a player. You have to think one day she'll be a captain for the United States down the road. Great reporting from Amy Rogers on this Tuesday. Speaking of Lexi, former major champ, she has 11 wins on the CV, including that major a decade ago at the Chevron, finished as a top 10 player in the year-end rankings 7 times and set to represent the U.S. at the Solheim Cup for the 7th straight time in September at RTJ. Still ahead on Golf Today, Golf Week senior writer and our good buddy Beth Ann Nichols had a front row seat to Lydia Ko's win in the AIG Women's Open on Sunday. What's next for the LPGA Tour's newest Hall of Famer? Find out next. Let's welcome on our good friend Beth Ann Nichols of Golf Week magazine, fresh back from Scotland. We love covering events at the Old Course, Beth Ann. It's the powerful imagery. It's the weather, the fans, the hotel. You know, 48 hours later, what images still come to mind for you?
Well, in the end, I just kind of parked by the practice green right next to Lydia Ko's husband and watched her, you know, wait to see if there was going to be a playoff and how chill she was and the interactions that she had with those standing around. She just looked so relaxed, like a woman who had everything she ever wanted. So, you know, that it just seems so fitting. And when they embraced after it was over, when she realized that she had won her first major title since the A&A all those years ago, 2016, the emotion that poured forth was so beautiful. It was just pure joy, young love. I mean, she's just in such a great place in her life right now. Couldn't have been happy for it. And you couldn't help but think about the last time the LPGA was at the Old Course in 2013 when Lydia shared the Smith Salver with Georgia Hall and how much life has transpired since then, how much she's grown. And as you said, the Old Course continues to deliver. Lorena Ochoa, a champion 2007, Stacey Lewis, and then Lydia Ko. It's a who's who.
Beth Ann, you've covered Lydia for the entirety of her career. So what's going to happen next? Is she going to retire? Is she going to chase the career Grand Slam? What do you think?
My goodness, I keep holding my breath because I was under the impression from a few years ago that once she got to Paris, you know, that was the benchmark. You know, she desperately wanted to play in the Paris Olympics and then, you know, let's see how it all unfolds. Obviously wanted to get into that LPGA Hall of Fame, but I knew she wouldn't stick around forever waiting for those last couple points. That's not her style. So the fact that she was able to clinch all of that and then get another major, it wouldn't have surprised me if she had said, okay, I'm going to walk away after this Wilkin Bridge. But that didn't happen. So I think she's just having so much fun right now. I mean, it looks like more golf is ahead. She's going to finish out the season. Then I think she'll really take some time. I'm just speculating here in the off season and really see what her heart wants and what's coming next, because I've seen so many, you know, great players who have gotten into the Hall of Fame then try to, you know, struggle to come up with the next goal, the next, you know, carrot to keep them out here, especially those who have already, you know, moved on to the next stage of life with marriage. And then obviously at some point she's going to want to start a family. So, you know, the men have different questions than the women in terms of longevity.
The heart wants what it wants, as the old song goes. But it's possible, Beth Ann, in a parallel universe, the lasting image of Lydia Ko in 2024 might have been that unopened champagne bottle off the green at the LPGA Drive-On Championship in January when Nelly Korda caught her at the tape. Why has she found this purple patch in the summer, the gold medal, and now her third major championship?
You know, I mean, obviously she was coming in good form in the beginning of the season and then had kind of a lull. She's, you know, had some different people come in and look at her golf swing, giving her some fresh eyes. You know, she got a dog. She told me the first time she brought her dog. It was just her and the dog in Canada. She wasn't even supposed to play in Canada, but, you know, she said this is the 50th anniversary of the event. She felt like it was the right thing to do. And sometimes when you do the right thing, good things follow. And that was really a big spark for her to play that week with alongside Kai, who she absolutely adores and lights up when she talks about as well. So, you know, I think she just found a spark here and is riding it. She's riding momentum.
But then when you look back at the news of the day here with the U.S. Solheim Cup announcing the captain's picks, at least on the American side, big picture, the U.S. has won just two of the past seven Solheim Cups. Is this just simply cyclical, or is there a fundamental foundational issue with Team USA not getting it done?
Ask me that in a few weeks, because I really think I'm serious. I really think this next cup will tell us a lot. And I say that because Stacey Lewis, you know, she's talked so much about stats, and that's a huge part for her MO here, but history is so important to her as well. She has 11 past captains coming to Virginia to speak to the team and draw inspiration. You know, every player now in the vein of what they do with soccer teams has a number. Beth Daniel has number one. She was the number one player on the money list at the time when the 1990 Solheim Cup, the inaugural Solheim Cup, was formed. And there have been 67 Americans who have competed for Team USA. And of course, now we've just added a couple more rookies. So, you know, Stacey really wanted everyone that's playing now to understand their place in history and what this event has meant to the tour and continues to mean to the tour, not just representing the USA, but in terms of, I mean, it's the biggest stage in women's golf. It's the best opportunity for the game to grow. And so she wanted them to embrace it wholeheartedly. And with five rookies on her roster last year, just so much new blood, you know, she's done a lot. They've come a long way in just a short amount of time. This is a very introverted team. There's not a lot of Paula Creamers and Dottie Peppers and Morgan Pressels on this team. Actually, a lot of them are a little more in the same vein as their captain, Stacey Lewis here. And so, you know, I think that, you know, allowing them to be themselves out there, not try to be someone they're not, but at the same time have this greater appreciation, I think is monumentally important. So I feel like they're buying into it, and we'll see how this culture pays off. Because one of the last things that Suzanne said when she was announcing her team on Monday was that this is the family that's going to represent Europe, that's going over to Virginia. And that word family really rings true, I think, for them. And so I feel like that's also part of the culture that Stacey's trying to replicate.
Well, you can't get any closer than a 14-14 tie, which is what we had in Spain last year. Break down the teams, tell the tape, who should be the favorite and why?
Well, there's no question that the Americans are better on paper, and they're playing a lot better right now than Team Europe. There isn't a single player on Team Europe that's won on the LPGA this year. In fact, the only one European has won, and that's Linnea Strom. She told me last week at the Old Course that she hadn't heard from Suzanne all year. So I don't think she was on the radar at all, which is, I mean, she obviously hasn't had the most consistent year. But I did find it kind of crazy that the one player who's won from Europe hadn't talked to the captain. But that being said, you know, I still look at the fact that they have all the momentum, as you alluded to earlier. You know, the Americans haven't won since 2017. You know, a tie is a tie, but it's still a loss. They still retain the cup. They were the ones rejoicing. So I definitely think that even though on paper, once again, the Americans have the advantage, it still feels like in heart and in spirit, Europe does.
Bethann, one of those captain's picks today was Lexi Thompson, who has been such a compelling figure to cover over the past decade plus, and now this is apparently her final year as a full-time player. How will you remember her as a player a decade from now?
As a player who never gave up. I mean, I think that we say this a lot, but genuinely, she is such a resilient player. I can't think of anyone who's endured so much in my time covering the LPGA in terms of valleys and yet climb back to the top of the mountain. And so, you know, I think the same is true for Solheim Cup from the standpoint that she's so gritty. You know when Lexi's going to be your partner, she's never going to give up. And that she's going to fight till the end. And that means a lot when you're on a stage like that. And so, you know, Lexi's not a rah-rah person. She's not going to give a rah-rah speech that I know of in the locker room. But her example of hard work, how she goes about her business, and the no quit in her, I do think sets a nice tone for Team USA. And she obviously has the most experience on that team. And the heart that she has for the Solheim Cup, the heart that she has for the fans, is unmatched. And that's definitely how I'll remember her, especially as a Solheim player.
And probably the biggest storyline in 2 weeks will be Lexi Thompson's potential final appearance in the Solheim Cup. Bethann, always great to visit with you. Get some rest. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Ahead on Golf Today in hour number two, it's a busy day with my friends in the media center at Eastlake, with world number one Scottie Scheffler meeting the press and trying to capture his first FedEx Cup title. Meanwhile, world number two Xander Schauffele might have a case for the PGA Tour's Player of the Year race. We'll discuss that and plenty more in this hour of Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Second hour of Golf Today, Damon and Ryan. We have the U.S. Solheim Cup captain, Stacey Lewis, on at the top of the last hour. She's all business, as we know. I told her she needs to make this a Lexi-thon. You know, wrap your arms around the storyline of this being potentially her final Solheim Cup, but she kind of, you know, tapped that down a little bit. Doesn't want it to become an overwhelming storyline to overwhelm her or the rest of the team.
I think that's interesting because she doesn't want to have sort of Nelly Korda be that front and center player as Stacey Lewis has been on occasion. She doesn't want this to be all on Lexi Thompson as well. She said it basically is coming down to 7 and 8 players as opposed to those at the top. I do think Lexi Thompson is going to be a hugely important player on this U.S. Solheim Cup team because you look at last year in Spain, the Americans had 5 rookies. This time it's just 2 rookies. But all of those players, by and large, are going to be making their first experience on home soil. The crowd, you heard Lexi Thompson in an interview with Amy Rogers saying she could feel the ground shaking on that first tee. And this is basically the culmination of Lexi Thompson's career, right? 7 consecutive Solheim Cup appearances now. It's hard to imagine at the age of 29 that she's going to be stepping away, at least as a full-time player on the LPGA. You know she wants to go out on top. Unless she's going to come back in a couple years.
She hasn't won this season, but isn't it just set up for something special? Wouldn't it be, as one of the favorite players of the LPGA Tour over the last decade plus, who Beth Ann talked about it, the comebacks, the never quit, the stiff chin that she's had to get up off the mat time and time again. Wouldn't it be somehow poetic if she had a winning record and somehow was in one of the last, you know, matches on Sunday to carry the U.S. over the threshold?
I mean, she was one of the best players last year.
3-1.
On that U.S. team last year in Spain, despite having a really poor season up to that point. Still, it was a no-brainer. She was going to be on that team. I found it very interesting, Damon, earlier this summer when Lexi Thompson made the announcement that she was going to be retiring as a full-time player at the end of this year. Immediately, she rattles off 3 consecutive top tens as an opportunity to win, lost in a playoff. That, to me, seemed like that was a release or a relief that this had been building for a couple of months, and to then get it out in the open, to have her plans then known, it was almost cathartic in a way, and she was able to play some great golf knowing that this could potentially be her last Solheim Cup. Perhaps it's a similar runway for her as well.
And very similar to Danielle Collins in the women's tennis professional game, who also announced this would be her last year in tennis and has played some of the best tennis of her career. Well, in case you missed it earlier, a lot of Solheim Cup talk. Captain Lewis made her 3 picks today in Boston: Lexi Thompson, Jennifer Kupcho, and Sarah Schmelzel. The 3 picks joined 7 players who qualified through the Solheim Cup point standings and 2 others who qualified through the Rolex Women's World Golf Rankings. Sarah caught up with Amy Rogers after being selected as a captain's pick.
Sarah, what a season. 6 top 10s to catch the attention of U.S. Solheim Cup captain Stacey Lewis and earn a pick, now a member of the U.S. team for the very first time. What was your reaction to finding out that you had made your first Solheim Cup team?
Just a lot of joy. I was really overwhelmed with emotion, especially calling my parents and getting to share that moment with them. It's a dream come true. Since you're a little girl and you're watching the Solheim Cup on TV, you just dream that you're in that position one day, and it's very surreal to be able to sit up here and talk about it and be announced as a captain's pick. I'm just so honored.
It's been quite a climb for you in the standings this year. Began the year ranked 102nd in the world, now up to 61st. What sort of work did you have to put in on yourself and on your game to get to this point to make the Solheim Cup team?
Yeah, you know, at the end of last year, I finished 61st on CME, and so just missed out on the Tour Championship. And that really kind of kicked me into gear. I made some team changes with my coach, added a putting coach, and really got down to the nitty-gritty of stuff with my mental coach and just got really detailed on what I wanted to accomplish and how to accomplish those things. And, you know, this year definitely hasn't been without hardships, you know, around Chevron and those kind of 6-7 weeks that set me back. And it's, you know, the people that I have around me have really pushed me to get better and to push forward, and so I'm really grateful for them and that we can share this together.
You certainly put in all that hard work figuring you had something that you could bring to this U.S. team. What is it?
I think I'm just on fire for being able to play for Team USA, honestly. You know, I'm friends with all these girls. We see each other every week. And to be able to play together in a team setting that, you know, we only get to do every once in a while, it's such an honor to be able to represent something bigger than ourselves. And I'm just so excited for it.
And such a thrill to be a part of that very first Solheim Cup experience. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How about a little bit more about Sarah, currently 61st in the Rolex rankings, 20 starts this year, 6 top 10s collegially for South Carolina, been on tour since 2019. How about this? As a fourth grader in 01, saw Annika shoot 59 and fell in love with golf then, and look where she is now. Very cool.
You never know who's watching.
We are back on Golf Today. Stacey Lewis, the captain, completed her team today with 3 captain's picks, Jennifer Kupcho, Sarah Schmelzel, and Lexi Thompson, what is believed to be her final Solheim Cup. It'll be a compelling watch in a couple of weeks along the shores of Lake Manassas. You may recall a President's Cup back in 2005, hashtag Chris DeMarco. What will we see in a couple weeks? Find out Friday, September 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern time, right here on Golf Channel. You see Saturday and Sunday coverage times as well. One of the great veteran writers, Ron Cyrak, joins us now to break it all down. Award-winning writer, it's great to see you. Any surprises from Stacey Lewis? Anything that kind of made you go,
Well, you know, I figured it was going to be Kupcho and Lexi as two of the picks. I thought it came down to between Angel Yin and Sarah Schmelzel for the third pick. I sort of thought maybe because she had so much inexperience on her team, she might go for the more experienced Angel Yin. But quite frankly, Schmelzel's had the better year. She's got 6 top 10 finishes, which is tied for 6th best on tour. She's in the top 25 in scoring average, greens and regulations, race at a CME Globe points. So she's earned it on her play this year.
Ron, this is a rematch, obviously, of last year in Spain. What lessons do you think that we can draw from the two captains based on what we saw last year?
Well, you know, I think that both of them like to get their combinations and stick with them. They find winning combinations. Lexi Thompson and Megan Kang played together twice last time. Nelly Korda and Alison Corpuz played together twice. We'll probably see on the European side the Swedes together, Sark and Grant. So I think what they look for, they toy a little bit early, they try out their things, but if they come across a winning combination, they're going to stick with it.
Ron, how about the experience angle for Team Europe? I mean, when you can pull an Anna Nordqvist out of your back pocket, that's got to be worth a couple of points right there, no?
The experience angle is huge for Europe right now. They've got their 10 players who've been in the Cup before have a combined 37 appearances in the Solheim Cup with a 71-55-17 record. The Americans have a combined 22 appearances, a record of 30-36-17. And yeah, you mentioned Nordqvist. She's been in 8 of them. Segunda and Charlie Hall have been in 6 each. Georgia Hall's been in 4. Lexi Thompson's been in 6. She's the only American who's got more than 3 appearances in the Solheim Cup. So you have to say that the experience angle is on the European side, which is really important when you're playing a road game.
Ron, you've covered a lot of these. Do you think that there was a turning point where this event morphed from being an exhibition into a full-fledged competition?
Absolutely. 2011, Killeen Castle. Americans had won 3 in a row. Going in there, it looked like there was a lot of pressure at that time. Let's blow up the format for the Solheim Cup. Let's include the rest of the world, you know, because the Americans are starting to dominate it. And they looked like they were going to win. And in the last hour at Killeen Castle, Europe won 3.5 of the last 4 points. Since then, it's been an incredible competition. The last 7 Solheim Cups, Europe has the edge, 4 wins, 2 losses, and 1.5. But in those 7, 5 of the 7 have been decided by 2 points or less. It's just become an incredibly, incredibly volatile competition.
You know, we spoke to Stacey Lewis at the top of the show, Ron, and she said she always cared about, you know, making sure the LPGA was in a better place than she found it. Nelly Korda, the summer of Lydia Ko, 2 weeks away from a Solheim Cup, potential goodbye to Lexi Thompson. How would you describe 2024 and the LPGA season as a whole?
You know, when you were showing the clips of Lydia hitting her shot into the road hole at St. Andrews, I remember 2013 being there when Stacy hit a chase and run 5 iron into the road hole, landed at the bottom of the hill, chased up to about 4 feet. She made it for a birdie, finished birdie to win. And every time that they've gone to the Old Course, an LPGA star has come true. Lorena Ochoa in 2007, Stacey Lewis, who was the best in the world in 2013. This year, Lydia in the resurgence of it. I think one of the things that we've seen top to bottom in the LPGA this year is that incredible depth of talent, but the stars have also really shown up and given us just an incredibly entertaining season, starting with what Nelly did early on and going through into what became the Summer of Lydia. I don't think anybody ever accomplished as much on one day as Lydia Ko did when she took the gold medal at the Olympics. That was just phenomenal. It's a highlight of the summer for me.
Ron, speaking of Lydia, she's 27 years old. Do you think that ticking off the final two majors for the career Grand Slam is an achievement that she can potentially do over the next 5 years?
Yeah, you know, she's been talking about, hey, I'm out of here at age 30. We tend to forget that's three more years. She's got a lot of, even if she goes at 30, she can accomplish a lot. She's got the career Grand Slam. If she gets three more majors, gets to six majors, she's top 10 all time in major victories. I think she has some goals ahead of her that are going to keep her motivated. And what we've seen, we are solidly into the third act of the Lydia Ko story. We had the teenage phenomenon. We had the hiccup where she went through some swing changes and lost her game for a few years. Now, these last few years, she's been resurging back. The one missing piece was to get back to winning a major. She got that at the Old Course, and I expect there's going to be more to come.
Speaking of motivated, Stacey Lewis sounds like a motivated captain. She told us that tie felt like a loss last year in Spain. Are you comfortable with the format? Competitions ending in a tie that feels like a loss instead of just playing it out?
I guess I sort of like it just because I'm a traditionalist, and we know what the rules are going ahead. We know that the team that has the cup just needs a tie. The team that doesn't has to win. So everybody knows going in. I thought, go back to Glen Eagles in 2019 when Pedersen's putt there, because of that tie format, if she makes the putt, Europe wins the cup. If she misses the putt, she loses the cup on a tie. So it was a make-or-break 7-foot birdie putt that she rolled in there. So I'm totally comfortable with the format.
No one has perspective like Ron Cyrak. Buddy, it's great to see you. Enjoy your Tuesday. We'll lean on you in a couple weeks.
Talk to you down the road, my friends.
All right, folks, still ahead on Golf Today. How about number one and two in the world meeting the media at East Lake today?
I think everybody's dealing with a little something at the end of the year. Like you said, it's been a long season. Especially now with the way the new schedule is, it really is a sprint to get here. There's not really places in the schedule to take large breaks. You have the beginning of the year where you're kind of getting, warmed up in a sense, even though you pretty much got to start the year ready to go. But then, March, you have the Players, April Masters, May PGA, June US Open, July, you have the Open Championship, and then you come to August and you got the FedEx Cup playoffs. So there's really not a time of the year where you're taking a break until, for us, after either the President's Cup or Ryder Cup. And so it definitely is a lot of a sprint, and I'm sure people got little aches and pains, but, didn't play all year to just get tired at East Lake and kind of just throw in the towel. So, it's good competition this week. I think the golf course is going to be pretty challenging, and it should be a fun week.
We got one on the right here, and then we'll go to Doug.
Hi, Scotty. In terms of the staggered format this week, I just wanted to know your thoughts on that. Do you think it's the right approach to this event, this season finale?
It depends how you want to describe it. If you want to just have a player that's playing the best at the end of the year, I think that the playoffs will definitely identify that player. In terms of the season-long race, it's not always going to be the guy that plays the best the whole season. It's going to be the guy that plays the best in these playoff events. And that's really what you're identifying, is the guy that plays the best in these last three events. And it's a format that's changed a bunch over the years, a few times, in terms of when it first got started, you had, a year where I think it was Patrick Harrington won two majors and maybe didn't make the BMW, and I know he didn't make this tournament. And so arguably it wasn't really a great setup then, and then you change the points to be a little bit less valuable in the playoffs, but you still see a lot of volatility. Like, you look at a guy like Keegan Bradley, who shows up last week and has a great week and wins the tournament, and now all of a sudden he goes from not being in East Lake to having a really, really great chance to win the FedEx Cup. And so I think it provides a little bit of volatility, which is good for the fans, and I think it's also good for some players that are at, didn't have their best years leading up to get into the playoffs, and all of a sudden turn a year that's not their best into, you know, somewhat of a career year in terms of winning the FedEx Cup. So a lot of volatility, but at the end of the day, you know, golf is golf, and the easiest way to solve an issue that you don't like in the game of golf is to play better. And that's really all it comes down to in our game is, at the end of the day, if you play good enough golf, it will take care of itself.
Go to Doug, and then we go
kind of
back.
Kind of along those lines, Scotty, do you feel any differently going into Thursday than you did at Memphis, at Phoenix, Palm Springs, Augusta?
Just like in terms of the tournament?
Yeah, just your outlook toward it. Are you feeling any differently?
I'm trying not to treat it any differently. You know, like I said, the starting strokes format is a bit different. It's not a traditional golf tournament, but at the end of the day, the format is what it is, and you know, I'm going to try to approach it the same way I approach other tournaments, and that's stepping up on the first tee and doing my best to execute, just like I would at the Masters, at the RBC Heritage, at Palm Springs. You know, every tournament, I'm stepping up on the first tee, seeing my shot and trying to hit that shot, and then going from there. When I see Xander winning a golf tournament and winning multiple majors in 1 year, I just look at him as a person that has really earned that. You know, he put in the work, he's made the right sacrifices, and he's earned those wins and played good at the right time. And so, you know, I'm typically not one of the guys that's there after the tournament. Once the tournament ends, I usually leave. But, like, this year after the Open, I wanted to make it a point to stay inside scoring and congratulate him when he got in, just because, you know, first of all, he's a great guy. And second of all, I was really happy for him to be able to accomplish what he's accomplishing. And I think sometimes I get a touch frustrated with the questions people ask, is like, well, whose year would you rather have? Would you rather have Xander's year or Scotty's year? And it's like, can't we just enjoy some great golf that's been played this year? You know, you had a guy win multiple major championships, and you had a season like mine where I was able to win a good amount of times. And I think it's one of those things where we should just sit back and enjoy it. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the year that I've had. I'm grateful for Xander's year, and I'm looking forward to competing for the FedEx Cup with 28 other guys. And I think it's something that we should just enjoy instead of, you know, focusing on the comparisons all the time.
And just a reminder, this is what your FedEx Cup top 10 standings look like, with Scottie Scheffler pacing the field, Xander Schauffele. Hideki Matsuyama, interestingly enough, was a WD last week at the BMW Championship, did not lose his position in the third hole. How about Xander Schauffele's season, Damon Hack? As impressive as Scottie Scheffler's was, look at Xander's. Those two wins, those are biggies, two major championships. Xander Schauffele also met with the media today at East Lake.
It's the best position I've ever been coming in. Feel pretty good. I've been trying to get myself to trend a little bit better through Memphis and the BMW, and I feel like I've done a decent job of that. So, yeah, just trying to learn a new golf course and get ready for this week.
We'll go ahead and open right to questions. We'll start with Fergie.
What was your first impression of the new East Lake?
It's just new. It's firm. It's fast. Needs to settle in. It's a very brand new. I'm not huge in agronomy, but I've played some new courses before, and they just play. They're a little bouncy, and you know, however it was designed to be played, it's going to be a little bit different, you know, for the first 2 years, just because it hasn't settled in.
Steve.
Yeah, Xander, given your record here, was there any part of you wanted to maybe throw yourself in front of a bulldozer here and stop all this?
100%, yeah.
And
absolutely. My caddy as well. He probably would have gone first.
And what, how does this, I mean, you know your record here is better than anyone's. How does this affect that now?
It's just a new golf course. I've kind of a half glass half full guy, so I've played a lot of new courses this year that I've done okay at, and this is a brand new property. You know, it's literally, the bunkers are new, the grass is new in the fairways, the greens are new, the greens on the grass on the greens are new, the runouts are different, the slopes are different. I think the only thing that's the same are the directions of the hole. So whatever record I had is the past. I have no memory or anything really on any hole to go off of. Not even the tree I could aim at that I used to aim at, you know. It's just that different. So to me it's got the same name. It's East Lake Golf Club. It's in the same property, similar square footage, but that's about it.
Great to hear from the top two guys in the world, also the top two guys in the FedEx Cup standing. So I want to go back to the first playoff leg in Memphis. They played together Thursday. They walk out of the scoring chair together. Xander goes to the mic first, and then he sees Xander, or sees Scotty right behind him, and he says, "Do you want to go first?" So Scotty goes first. Xander sits down. Both guys absolutely pooped. It's a million degrees in Memphis. The golf course is absolutely kicking their tails. They've had the greatest seasons that we've seen in the last few years, but they are exhausted. If that's what you want the playoffs to be, battle of attrition, baby, we are there.
I think we're about to find out this week at the Tour Championship whether last week's Scottie Scheffler performance at the BMW Championship was an anomaly or whether he actually is, in your words, pooped. That was the first time at Castle Pines that Scottie Scheffler has lost strokes to the field with his approach play in more than 2 years. Wow. I think reasonable people can probably chalk that up to the altitude adjustment that perhaps he and Ted Scott were not able to make. But I think the bigger thing to me, and something that I want to watch this week at Eastlake, was Scottie Scheffler's patience wearing thin. Some of those uncharacteristic outbursts that we're not used to seeing from Scottie Scheffler. That, we both have young children, is typically a sign of fatigue when you see that sort of of lashing out. You mentioned it was 110 degree heat index in Memphis. They were at 6,400 feet of elevation last week in Denver. Now you're back in hot and steamy Atlanta. Scottie Scheffler has entered this Tour Championship each of the last 2 years in the number one seed and not gotten it done. It is taxing mentally to be in the lead for four consecutive days, which Scottie Scheffler is hoping to do. He's going to get a well-deserved break at some point. Yeah. After this Tour Championship, he's going to have a couple weeks off before he gets the President's Cup. And he's essentially going to be shutting it down for the remainder of 2024. But Scottie Scheffler knows that he has to summon four more great days of golf if he wants to pay the season off in the right way.
I was with Sam Burns yesterday, a five-time winner on the PGA Tour in Atlanta, and I just said, how hard do you guys work? What does it take? And he talked about visiting the physio twice a day before his round of golf and at the end of the day just to try to keep in shape his body and swing where he wants it to be. All these guys, especially at the top, how do I finish this year stronger than I did the year before? It's top of mind. Xander was going to the range after his rounds in Memphis. He's like, this is what my job is. And I love the fact that it's come down to these two players who are constantly asked, oh, which season would you rather have? Or other players in the locker room ask, you know, whose season? And I love what Scotty had to say. You know what? Both are great. I don't think Xander would trade his season for Scotty. I don't think Scotty would trade his year for Xander. Do you?
I don't think so. And Xander's such an interesting player when you look at this season finale, because we just talked about Scottie Scheffler and his fitness level and where he is right now mentally. Can he sort of have the mental fortitude to get through these remaining 4 days?
Right.
Xander Schauffele, over the past year, has talked a lot about using sort of Eastlake as a barometer for him. Hmm. He views that as a golf course where he really saw that length and distance was going to be an advantage. So he has worked tirelessly with his swing coach, Chris Como, to add more distance, to add more speed. He's added 3 miles an hour of club head speed. You never see that on the PGA Tour. He's now inside the top 10 on the PGA Tour, but also at Eastlake. He played a couple years ago with Rory McIlroy while Rory was romping to his third FedEx Cup title. And Xander was feeling gassed. He was overwhelmed in the heat, and he would look across the fairway and see Rory McIlroy strutting and stomping his way to get another FedEx Cup title. And Xander Schauffele said, I need to get in the gym. I need to be fitter. I need to be healthier. This is a great proving ground for Xander Schauffele to see how far he has come in sort of closing that gap between not just Rory, but also Scottie Scheffler as the world number one.
And it was a year ago where Xander shot that final round 62 at Eastlake, breathing down the neck of Victor Hovland. What a great Sunday that was. And you have to wonder how much institutional knowledge has been lost with this restoration by Andrew Green. And Xander talked about it in press. The greens are different. The grass is different. The fairways are different. The golf course is different. Some say that should he win this week, that Xander has a case to be made as the player of the year. I don't think so. I think it's done and dusted. No matter what happens this week in Atlanta, I think 6 wins, including a second green jacket, including a back-to-back players, including 4 signature events, and a gold medal, though I know it doesn't count on the PGA Tour. It counts.
It doesn't.
It's an Olympic gold medal, and the players know what happened. Do you think that something that happened in Atlanta, anything that happens this week, can affect that player of the year debate.
So among the players, and the players that I talked to last week at the BMW Championship, by and large, they told me that Scottie Scheffler has played the best golf in 2024, and thus he should be the player of the year. But they would rather have Xander Schauffele's year. And I think,
really?
I think that's a reminder that in 10 years, players are going to care less about whether you won the Memorial or the Travelers Championship or any other signature events on the PGA Tour. And they all know that their legacies are going to be defined by how many major championships they
won. What about back-to-back players? No one had ever done it before. It was one of those little factoids that we just figured would, you know.
Two Masters titles.
Tiger didn't do it.
In 3 years, I think, is a better span and something that players would more want to have. And
but
so, yes,
we always
I do
talk
think
about how you have to have the reason no one ever gone back-to-back at the players because it's hard to have your game that razor-sharp, that tight. To
TPC's,
go back
TPC
to back.
TPC Sawgrass rules out like 25%. It's too claustrophobic. I do think it's interesting. I do think if Xander Schauffele does win the FedEx Cup title, I do think he will sway some votes. Mm. When you look at his body of work over the year, the two majors, $25 million, the quote-unquote season-long champ, although we could probably
pick right
with some of the format. It's going to be very interesting. Scottie Scheffler will be the player of the year, but I do think it's going to be very close.
Well, we hope we're setting the table up in a good way for you. Thursday, 1 p.m., Golf Channel, Peacock, Friday the same, Saturday, NBC gets into the frame, Sunday as well. This is it, the Last Chance Saloon. The Tour finale, Tour Championship, FedEx Cup playoffs cannot wait. Tomorrow, we will carry Jay Monahan's press conference, the PGA Tour Commissioner, 10 a.m. Eastern Time from Atlanta.
It's always great to hear from the PGA Tour Commissioner. He has developed this go-to phrase as it relates to the LIV and the PIF deal of we don't negotiate in public. And that's certainly understandable. I do think that Jay Monahan will receive some pointed questions from the press. Where are we? Where are we going? Is this sustainable? And I think most importantly, when are we going to get all of the best players in the world back together again? We may get some clues tomorrow from East Lake.
Yeah, earlier in the summer, it seemed like there was a lot of scuttlebutt that we were on the verge of an announcement. But in the last few weeks, the line's gone quiet.
Suspiciously quiet.
Yeah, maybe some news tomorrow. We'll be with you 10 a.m. Eastern time. Enjoy your Tuesday.